feel, man. To have this turnout, man, to have people cheering my name, I just want y'all to understand something, man. It's bigger than me. Always has been bigger than me. If you understand that, you understand that it's bigger than you, too. It ain't about one individual. It never is. We can never get done what we want to accomplish with one individual. So I share this night with my teammates, with my brothers. You understand? Because it's bigger than me, it's bigger than you, but it ain't bigger than us. So we're going to go out here tonight, we're going to ride. Bring it up. This thing is about family, it's about love, and it's about the fight to go out there and win. Bigger than me on three. 1, 2, 3.
Bigger than me.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation,
are you ready for some football?
Raider Nation,
you ain't ready for no football.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome to a Black Hole Banter podcast, the final Black Hole Banter podcast of the 2015-2016 season. My name is James Arslan. I'm here with your boy Q. Say what's up, man.
Raider Nation, what's up? It is the final episode. Well, I mean the final episode of at least game recap, since the final game has passed by, and we are here with you one more game. You know how we get down, and we're going to be with you throughout the year. But yeah, it's Raider Nation as always. It's how we roll.
Oh yes, sir. We will continue to be podcasting throughout the offseason, covering the free agent period, covering the draft, covering training camp. Jeez, I'm already thinking about baseball. You know, we'll be here through it all, talking Raiders the entire time. So don't worry. This is the last podcast about the 2015-2016 season. But that's only because from now on, we're going to be talking offseason stuff. And that's a whole lot of fun, too. But before we get there, we got to talk about the end of the year and how it didn't quite go so well for the Raiders.
No, it really didn't, man. A game with Kansas City that I really expected. One, I expected it to be a tough game because it's Kansas City, division rival. Obviously, they're on a great hot streak, playing really well, headed into the playoffs. But an opportunity for the Raiders to go 8-8, and I thought that would be really, really important, even though I know that there have been strides, and they are looking better. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I thought 8-8 would be a great momentum build going into the offseason. Obviously, we all know the outcome of the game. It didn't end up that way, and quite honestly, really didn't see much of an effort from the Raiders until probably around the third quarter, so I was kind of disappointed. Even though it was the last game and it meant absolutely nothing except for playing for pride, which Charles Woodson referred to before the game when he gave his pregame speech, kind of disappointed not to see him come out with a little bit more fire to start the game.
Yeah, I think it was Vic Tafer tweeted that he was picking the Chiefs to win because, in his mind, half the team checked out after that huge emotional home win over the Chargers on Christmas Eve, Charles Woodson's last home game in Oakland, a game that everyone was clearly playing for Chuck. And there was a lot of emotion that game, clearly. And I think Tafer may have been right. I think a lot of people may have just checked out after that game. That was kind of finale. And, you know, they woke up Sunday morning and were like, oh, shit, we got to play football again? Because they showed up, or rather, they didn't show up
right.
Once the game started. It was really, really bad. It was like the kind of stuff that we were complaining about earlier in the season with the Cincinnati game and a couple other times when they just didn't show up.
Quite honestly, it felt like the beginning of the season and the end of the season, the first game and the last game, were no-shows. You know, and that's not how you play a regular season. You just don't. You know, every game, you're only guaranteed 16 of them. If you can't get yourself motivated to play 16 games, there's a problem. And I know, again, that you're not playing for anything. I know that the last home game on Christmas Eve was very emotional. I get that. But you had time to get those emotions out of your system and time to regroup and recharge the battery before you had a huge road game against Kansas City, who is your hated rival. I just think that you only have 16 games. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to come out with a lot more fire than that. I think I think Coach Del Rio was very disappointed in the effort that he saw from his team. I know I was very disappointed in the effort that I saw. And honestly, that offense just, I mean, quite frankly, it stunk on Sunday. It was really disappointing to see the season end the way it did.
Yeah, it really was. It was just the type of performance that you didn't want to see the Raiders go out with. It was a performance, like we said, that had happened a lot early in the season and type of thing that we were really hoping the Raiders moved on from, of this just total no-show. It's the type of thing in past years happened a lot. It's inexcusable. You're right. 16 games really isn't that much. You can get yourself out to play for 16 games. I know there was no playoffs on the line. But look, pride is on the line, like Woodson said. Woodson was on the line. How about winning one for the GOAT as he's going out? I understand that you won one at home, but this is still his last game he will ever play. How about playing for him? Mm-hmm. How about playing for the future? You know, most of these guys are under contract for next season. Most of them are young players looking for, you know, to build and get better with their careers and with the team. You know, how about winning for your own future? There's lots of reasons for them to have showed up. They didn't show up. It was really disappointing. You feel like it's got to go on the coaching staff. They didn't get these guys prepared. It's something we've said before in the year and something that these coaches really need to work on this offseason.
I agree that it's definitely on the coaching staff, because that's their job each and every week, is to get these guys motivated and get them fired up to play. But at some point, you got to look at the players and say, look, man, you're responsible for your own actions as well. You know what I mean? Like, look, you need to come out and you need to be understanding the situation. It's 16 games, and I know that they practice and they work hard, and I know it's a violent sport, and I get all that, but they're taken care of really, really well. They're paid really, really well, and 16 games is not a lot to ask you to go out and bust your butt one more time, knowing you got the whole offseason ahead of you. You're not going to the playoffs. Go out 8-8. You know, show that this team has turned the corner. Show that this team, and they've done a good job actually this season. They won on the road more than they have at home. So they've done a good job with home or away games. But still, finish the season strong. You know, let the league know that, hey, the Oakland Raiders are going to be a team that's going to have to be reckoned with next season. Like, we're not that rollover team. We're not that gimme win. You know, but Kansas City walked into that game, and they started out that game like, whatever. This is a college team we're playing. We're not worried about these guys. And put 14 points up on the board real quick. And if it hadn't been for a few mistakes by Alex Smith, you know, it probably would have been a blowout. But I just, that taste in my mouth, man, it just is not a good one. Even if they had lost the game, but they put up one hell of a fight, and I know that the score looked close, but the game wasn't close. The game was not close at all. It was actually a shame that the Raiders had an opportunity to win at the end, to be quite honest, because if they had won, then we would have said, damn, they pulled out a victory in a game that there was absolutely no reason that they should have won. So, I mean, it was ugly. I definitely didn't feel good about it. I think it was a terrible way for those young guys that you mentioned to go into the offseason, because that's the last game that they have under their belt until they get started next year. And that wasn't the way to go out. So very disappointed in the coaching staff for the way they prepared the guys for the game, and very, very disappointed in the players for the way they went out and executed the game.
Yeah, I think during the game, I tweeted out something along the lines of, the Raiders were just trying everything they could to lose this game. If not for Alex Smith doing the exact same thing on the other side of the ball, it would have been a blowout, you know, because, you know, if not for back-to-back passes that Alex Smith threw, one that was a pick, another one a pick six, that changed the entire game, gave the Raiders an opportunity to get back into it. If not for that, which is something that's extremely out of the ordinary for Alex Smith, by the way, if not for that, the Raiders get just buried in the second half, and it's never even come close to a game. You know, don't get me wrong, David Emerson, who had the pick six, made a great play, but it was also a product of Smith just making a bad pass. And if he doesn't do that, this game gets ugly real quickly. So, you know, the defense started off terribly. I will give credit where credit is due, and they did pick it up, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. They started playing better and stronger as the game went on. The offense didn't.
That's what they've been doing. I mean, the defense, and so that's an area of the team that we talked, you know, really bad about early in the season, because they were just god-awful. They couldn't stop anything. They couldn't stop me and you from scoring. But now they've been playing pretty well, and they've been getting better as games have gone on, and that's why the Raiders have been in games late in the season, or in the game. But, you know, the offense was just, oh, man, that was offensive. You know, I tweeted out the offense is just straight offensive today. It was just bad, you know. I mean, from Carr just dinking and dunking to him making mistakes when he's throwing the ball deep. And, I mean, it was bad. It was ugly. I know they scored a touchdown late on a pass that could have been called offensive pass interference or whatever. It looked more like just a jump ball, and Michael Crabtree just happened to come down with it because he's Michael Crabtree, and that's what he does. But it was just bad, man. The play calling was terrible. Just nothing could get going. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to take anything away from KC's defense because they do have a very good defense. But come on, man. I mean, we've been seeing this kind of trend as of late with the offense just regressing and regressing and regressing. And man, Sunday proved that they had just totally taken a step back. And that was not good. You know, there's times in the game when it's third and one, and I know a lot of people don't like the play calling that Musgrave did throughout the game, throughout the season. But third and one, you know, there's a point in every NFL game where any team needs to be able to pick up third and one, and the Raiders couldn't do it on the ground. They just couldn't do it. And that's honestly, even though Murray had over 1,000 yards this season, that's honestly been a problem, is the lack of run game. I mean, I like to see Carr throwing for big yards and everything, almost 4,000. That's great. But that lack of run game really hurt the Raiders, and it showed yesterday, you know. And third and one, you can't pick that up. You got to be able to pick that up at some point. That offensive line has got to win. It comes to a point where it's like hat on hat, I'm going to beat you, and the Raiders just couldn't get it done.
It's been like so many other games this year where we've had these kind of complaints. Running up the gut on third and one, something the Raiders have not done with success at all this season. So what do you do in the final of the game? Run up the gut on third and one and have no success again. It's like they hadn't learned from any of the mistakes earlier in the year. And, you know, I actually wrote a piece this morning on the blog about Latavius Murray because, you know, the guy's had a pretty good year, over 1,000 yards. But when you look at it and you break it down, he had a huge chunk of yards in a small period of time. Other than that, he's been wildly inconsistent. You know, the final game of the year, and yes, Chiefs are a very good defense. He put up 31 yards, 2.8 yards per carry. I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. Now, does it all fall on Murray's shoulders? I don't think so, because I think it goes back to the third and one play and the play calling by the staff. We've talked about this before. Murray is not, I mean, he's a big guy. He doesn't run like one. He doesn't get his pads low. He doesn't run guys over. He doesn't hit the hole hard. He doesn't break tackles. That's just not his style. And it's like Bill Musgrave, his only ability to evaluate a running back is by looking at his size and saying, okay, well, you big, so you must need to run up the gut. No, the guy's got 4.4 speed. He's an outside runner. He's the type of guy you get out into space, similar to the way they used Tywan Jones earlier in the year. But for whatever reason, they continue to run him out of the gut, doing things that he is not good at. Okay? So the Raiders, you know, if that's the way they want to do the run game, fine. But they need to go out and get a back who can be a bruiser up the gut. They need to go get their Michael Bush to be the secondary player to Latavius Murray. You know, Murray is a speed back, period. Okay? He's not the kind of guy you need to run up the gut, and the Raiders have yet to learn that.
The deal with it is, like, no matter what kind of running back he is, like you said, he's not the up-the-gut guy. You just have to use him correctly. You know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest issue for me. It's like, I don't mind you running on third and one, but if you're going to call that play, call it where you can actually pick it up. Don't call it on something that you hope is going to work. No, you get it on, you do something that you know is going to work, or you have a good chance of working. I mean, the defense can make plays at any time. I know that. That's the NFL. But these guys are calling plays that are just, there's no chance for success. You know, you just know that this is a failed play. And that's what drives me crazy. And I know there's been a lot of people that, you know, we've been arguing back and forth with a lot of different people on Twitter and about, you know, play calling and Musgrave, should he stay, should he go? And, oh, he's turned all these, you know, offensive records in this year. And yeah, that's true. But critical times, the right call, the right play call is not called. It just isn't. And that's what drives me crazy. And that's where this team needs to improve. It needs to be the proper play call at the right time. It's great. It's easy to call the right play call if you're blowing somebody out. But if it's a close game and you're driving and you need to pick up first downs and you need to, you know, get in the end zone instead of settle for a field goal, you got to push the right buttons. And that's the biggest problem I've had with Bill Musgrave this whole season, is at the critical times of the game, he's pushed the wrong buttons. And that's where they need to improve. I don't know what they're going to have to do. I don't know what kind of communication. Coach Del Rio said something in his press conference today that the offense has regressed, and he doesn't know exactly what the problem is, but it needs to be addressed. I'm glad that he acknowledges that, because it's the god-awful truth that the offense, and you mentioned it plenty of times, James, ever since the Pittsburgh game, has not been on point where it needs to be. So somehow they need to get back to that successful offense that they had during that Pittsburgh game, where they lost, but okay, you lose those games sometimes. You can't let it take your whole mojo and never come back and be successful again. You just got to, hey, you know, we took a L. Let's bounce back and let's get some victories. So somewhere they need to rekindle what they had leading into that Pittsburgh game and playing that Pittsburgh game.
Phil Musgrave has had issues the entire season with situational play calling. You know, we talked a lot about it earlier in the year when they got big leads early and then suddenly went to the most conservative play calling you could ever imagine, right? That wasn't such a big deal, because that was easy to know what was going wrong. In the second half of the season, after the Pittsburgh Steelers game, I don't know what is going on. I mean, it's the entire offense just completely went south, from play calling to Cooper to everything. So, you know, early in the season, I didn't have a huge problem with Musgrave's downfalls, because there are types of things he could potentially improve on. And he was still getting a whole lot of good out of that offense, even if he was screwing things up a little bit late. Now, he's not doing a whole lot of anything that you can really speak positively on. And that's not a great sign. I really do not think, we're in the middle of Black Money now. No one's been fired from the Raiders yet. No one's going to get fired from the Raiders, in my opinion. Musgrave is going to get an extra year. Mm-hmm. So what I need to see from Musgrave is a whole lot of improvement. And luckily, I think Jack Del Rio needs to see that too, because I think, you noted that he mentioned press conference today. He mentioned in his post-game press conference yesterday, this offense is not what it looked like earlier in the season. It's not what he feels like this offense can be. So, I think he was a little bit putting Musgrave on notice. Look, you got to get things turned around next season. And he has to. Otherwise, he will be gone next year.
And he has fired Musgrave before.
This is very true.
Let's not get that twisted. I mean, they might be friends, but he's fired his friend before. So, yeah, I definitely don't think that there'll be any changes in the coaching staff this season. But I think you're right, man. If it doesn't improve next season, there's definitely going to be some changes. And it will be with Bill Musgrave, because this team has too much potential right now. They have too much to build on for them to be having games like we saw yesterday and having offensive performances like we saw yesterday. The defense has really, really turned the page. They've gotten a lot better. They've improved a lot over the past, few games or whatever, where they're keeping the team in the game in the second half. You know, there's so many games that have gone down to the fourth quarter where either the Raiders had the lead or they had an opportunity to take the lead. So as long as you're in the game and have a fighting chance, I'm good with that. But now the offense has to do their part, and that's the biggest thing. So I don't know what Bill Musgrave is going to have to do in this offseason. I don't know if Coach Del Rio is going to have to sit down with them and be like, look, we need to figure this out. But something I did like that Coach Del Rio said is our run game is not where it needs to be. And I'm sorry, you are not going to be successful in the NFL if you're just throwing the ball around the field 40 times a game and not having a successful run game. You need to have a solid run game. That would be Carr's best friend. There's a reason why he threw so many picks, because teams realize, hey, look, the Raiders' run game is not going to kill us. They're not going to beat us. We're going to, drop back in coverage, and we're going to go to their favorite plays or Musgrave's favorite plays, and that's how we're going to create turnovers. And that's what teams have done as of late. That's why he's thrown so many picks as of late. They're not scared of the run. The Raiders need to turn into a team that can also hurt you with the run. And I think that you said it early in this podcast that they need to find number two running back. They don't have that. We thought that Helu was going to be that when we signed him in the offseason. Clearly he wasn't that. For some reason he fell out of favor with the team, and he wasn't active until we end up losing Marcel Reese because of suspension. Then all of a sudden he's in the game and he did a little bit, but still, he'll be an offseason release. I'm pretty sure about that. And they need to find a number two running back. They need to find someone that could complement Murray, and right now he's not on the roster.
No, he's not, and you're right. It's such a huge factor for this game. There are some teams that can win without a run game, but those teams are headed by guys named Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and even those guys have run games. They're just a little bit different. They're a little bit tweaked. Patriots are known for the passing run game. They do a lot of dump off short passes to running backs that basically, we talked about this early in the year because the Raiders were doing a little bit of this. It creates a run game through a different means. It accomplishes all of the things you need to accomplish as a run game. And even, at Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers struggled a lot this year, and a lot in part because Eddie Lacy has struggled a lot this year. That offense has struggled. Has not been able to get the run game going, and Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, has struggled. So, yes, this is a passing league. Yes, the rules are continuously changing to promote passing. Yes, you need a quarterback to win big. doesn't change the fact that football is a sport in which you run the ball and you stop the run in order to win. Period. You have to be able to do those things to win on a consistent basis. And the Raiders have not figured out how to run the ball.
No, they haven't. And, you know, I know it starts up front. And at the beginning of the season, you know, we saw the dividends of signing a guy like Rodney Hudson. That was great. And he was leading the charge. And Gabe Jackson, we know he's a really, really good offensive lineman. And he got snubbed on the Pro Bowl. But whatever, it is what it is. He's a young dude. He'll have plenty of years to get to the Pro Bowl. But, you know, the Raiders do need a little bit of help on the offensive line. When we saw a couple of injuries go down, or a couple guys went down because of injury, it just wasn't the same. So they do need to shore up that offensive line. And, you know, I've said plenty of times that I can look at this draft and say, okay, I'll take all defense. But honestly, you know, I do want to take the majority of defense. But if I can get a couple of offensive linemen in there that can kind of shore up that offense, we'll be good. We'll be good. I love Rodney Hudson in the middle. I think there's some nice pieces around him, particularly on the left side, but that right side needs to be shored up. You know, I don't know what they have to do to get that solid, but right now it's just not where it needs to be. So, you know, that's part of the problem without having, you know, not having a run game is, you know, calling the wrong plays for Murray. He's not the back that Musgrave is trying to make him, and, you know, the offensive line not quite being where it needs to be. So, you know, that those two combinations, they go hand in hand. So, yeah, we need to find a complimentary running back to be, you know, to be Murray's right-hand man, and we need to figure out what we could do on that offensive line just to get that tightened up. I mean, it's just simple as that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the offensive line has done a very admirable job with pass blocking for most of the season, though they've struggled a lot the past few weeks since Austin Howard has gone down with an injury. But they've done well in pass blocking, but they have not done well in run blocking. Donald Penn is not a run blocker, you know, period. Jamarcus Webb's done pretty well in pass blocking, not a great run blocker. Hudson and Jackson can run block. Those are the keys to this offensive line. You're building around those two. So those are great, like you just mentioned, great, but they're two-fifths of the offensive line. If Austin Howard can get healthy and come back, I really do think he may have that right tackle position pretty shored up. He can run block pretty well. He's not the greatest pass blocker in the world, but he's serviceable. And I think he does the things that we need the Raiders offense to do in terms of run blocking. The problem is they just didn't run behind him enough because they're too busy running behind the guards and center all bloody the time. So, you know, I think they definitely need to upgrade right guard. I think they need to start looking at upgrading left tackle. Mm-hmm. You know, Donald Penn has done some very good things for us the past couple years, but the fact of the matter is he is not a run blocker, and his pass blocking skills are starting to diminish. He has struggled. He has struggled the past few games, and he has not played well. So, you know, I would not at all be angry if the Raiders ended up getting a left tackle in the first round. If some stud ends up falling to them, and I got to be perfectly honest here, I have not done all my draft homework yet. I don't know all the names. I don't know who's going to be picked where. No one does, really, because there's a lot of time before the draft. Mm-hmm. So I don't know who I'm necessarily talking about right now. But if the draft rolls around and you've got a guy who is a consensus top 3 to 5 pick and he's sitting there at number 14 and you know you're going to need a left tackle sooner or later, even if you re-sign Donald Penn, he's getting old. He's not going to be around that long. You need that left tackle. So as much as I agree with the philosophy of defense, 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 especially high and early in the draft, if you get the opportunity to get that franchise left tackle, you do it. And it will make a huge difference for this team.
Right. You definitely have to start preparing for the future as well. You know, you're absolutely right about that. So, yeah, I mean, at the beauty about picking number 14 overall is you can go best player available, and that could be the right pick. You know what I'm saying? You don't necessarily have to go after your franchise quarterback because, hey, you already got it. You don't have to go after your franchise wide receiver because, hey, you just got it. I mean, that's what you save for, like, the top five. But at 14 overall, man, you have room to wiggle, and that's a good thing. If you can get a guy, like you said, if a guy falls to you in that position, you go ahead and take him because you also know that, hey, I'm flipping around, and I'm going to be picking around this spot in the second round, and there's still going to be some damn good players there. So I would not have any problem picking an awesome, you know, offensive lineman at that position if he happens to fall. You know, again, like you said, there's still a lot of time before the draft. People are still declaring for the draft, so we don't really know who's all going to be there. But I have started my little research on the draft, so I'm getting things going. I got the wheels turning. I'm not there yet, but the wheels are turning. So that'll be for a later podcast. But yeah, man, it's real important, man. For the Raiders moving forward, I expect the playoffs next season. I don't know about you, but for them moving forward, they're going to have a run game. And 1,000 yards, 1,035, 1,050, whatever Murray had, that's fine. But, I mean, I'm looking at 1,200, 1,300 yards is legitimately what the Raiders need to have next season to guarantee themselves a spot in the playoffs next year.
You know, I'll actually say that even if they finish with only 1,000 yards, they'll be fine. I don't think that they need to increase the production in terms of number of yards. I think they need to increase the consistency at which they obtain those yards.
True.
Because the big chunks every now and then make the stats look nice and pretty, but they don't help you win games when you're struggling, or when your passing game isn't going, or when you need to control the ball, or when you need to do any of the number of things that a running game does for you. So, you know, if they finish with the exact same number of yards next year, but they're, you know, average per game, or their average per carry is up, or, you know, they're able to do it consistently throughout the year, as opposed to having like a 5-game stretch where the run game is suddenly good and then disappears again, that is what they need. They need consistency out of it such that they're not going first down, run of the gun, no game. Second down, run up the gut, no gain. Third down, passing complete. That's the kind of crap we can't have. A 50-yard run on a play earlier in the game does not make up for the three and outs in a row that happen because you can't run in the third quarter. So consistency is what I'm looking for.
That's true. That's very true. You know, consistency is what the Raiders really need to have. I just look at that number as I would like to see more 100-yard games out of a guy like Murray. Mm-hmm. You know, just because the chances of you having the ball longer if a guy's getting 100 plus yards a game is better. It protects your quarterback, it protects your defense. I mean, the more you can run, the more you can kind of hold on to that rock. It protects everybody that's on your team. So that's why I was looking at numbers. But no, I mean, consistency makes all the sense in the world. So I don't care where they get it from. I don't care if they get 1,000 from Murray and 600 from another complimentary back. They need to, you know what I mean? They need to get it done. They need to make some strides in the run game, because right now it's not where it needs to be. And again, it was something that Del Rio pointed out, that, hey, our run game is not where I wanted it to be. And if you remember him back in Jacksonville, he had a run game. He had a very solid run game, and that's what made that team that much better. So hopefully between now, the offseason, and next season, they can establish what is wrong with the run game and fix it.
Yeah, because that's the type of thing that really, it will go a long way towards helping everything else on the team. It goes a long way towards helping the pass game, helps the defense by being able to control the ball longer. It's really just a very, very crucial part of the game of football that the Raiders are seriously missing out on. So that has to be a focus in this offseason. Secondary has to be, again, even though the defense has been playing well, they've been playing much better this later in this season than I expected. David Emerson is a very, very large part of the reason why. Doesn't matter. They still need to upgrade that secondary, period. David Emerson should not be your best corner. And I love the guy. He's playing out of his mind right now. I'm very, very excited about him. He should not be your best corner, period.
No, I mean, because he's not a number one. I mean, simple as that. He's not a number one. He's definitely, he could be a number two. I'm fine with that. He could be a number two, but the Raiders need a guy who can lock down one side of the field. You know, quite honestly, and I know a lot of people don't like saying, oh, well, remember when Al did this and Al did that, but that's Al Davis's thing, man. The Raiders always had good DBs. You know, he made sure that a DB was a priority. Remember, he is the guy who drafted Charles Woodson, and Charles Woodson, 18 years later, is still a beast, even though he's a rare guy. I mean, there's not a lot like him, but still, I mean, you need to go out there and get a quality lockdown defensive back, and you know that they just go hand in hand with the defensive line. They make the defensive line better, and defensive line makes the defensive backs better. I mean, as simple as that. Emerson has done a hell of a job. He was let go from Washington as a second round draft pick. They gave up on him quick, and he came into Oakland. He could have came in with his tail in between his legs and sulking, but he didn't. He came in and wanted to get better. And you know, sometimes it takes guys a little bit of time to adapt to the NFL and the speed of the game and coming into their own. And I'll tell you right now, he has. He's done a heck of a job. Not going to lie about that. He's not a number one guy, though. He's a number two, and I would love to have him as a complimentary dude. Wouldn't be mad at that at all. I like the style that he brings. I like the energy that he brings. And, you know, he's out there making plays. Simple as that. He knows that guys are going to be going after him, and he's ready. He's up for the job, you know, and that's what it takes. And that's kind of, it's funny because you look at Emerson and you say, you know what? I do see a little Seattle Seahawk in him. And, you know, Ken Norton's coming from Seattle. You know, they have guys that go in there and their names aren't well known, but they go in there and make plays. And then they end up leaving and going and getting free agent contracts with teams. And they're not that great because they're, quite frankly, they're not number one guys. That's Emerson. He's not a number one guy, but he's a good number two. He's a really good number two. So the Raiders' job in the offseason is to go and get a priority. It's got to be a priority, is to get a number one defensive back. If you get him in free agency, get him in free agency. If you get him in the draft, get him in the draft, but you have to hit on him. You cannot, and I repeat, cannot take on a project. You have to take on a guy that you just know, you feel great about, that he's going to be that dude. He's going to be solid and get it done. You can't take a guy, no disrespect to DJ Hayden, that just had like triple heart surgery. I mean, you can't. I'm sorry. I mean, no disrespect. It's a great story. Great story. But when the Raiders drafted him, they were not in position to take on a great story. They were in position to take on a great player. And that's just it. I mean, a team that is successful and has extra picks, they can take on a great story, because if it doesn't work out, kind of like Marcus Lattimore did for the 49ers, it didn't work out, but it didn't hurt them. Because they were already in good position. Now they're not in good position. But the Raiders were never in good position to take on a good story. So don't go and do that. Don't DJ Hayden it up. You got to go out there, and if you're going to draft a guy, a defensive back, you have to know this guy is going to be solid. If you're going to get him free agent, you have to know this guy is going to be solid. Simple as that. Don't go out and get a number two on a guy on a team that wants to be the number one. Oh, you know, he might succeed in Oakland. No. You have to know that you're getting a stud. If you get him after free agency, fine. Draft, fine. But he has to be a number one straight up.
Yeah, I think, you know, you hit it on the head. Cornerback is an absolute huge priority for the Raiders this offseason. It's a position that has been neglected for too many years now. It needs to be rectified. It'll make everything else better. We've talked so many times about how the defensive line and the cornerbacks play off of each other. D-line was hung out to dry a number of times by cornerbacks who couldn't even cover for more than 2 seconds this season. So it has to be cornerback, safety, middle linebacker. If you do not upgrade those three positions this offseason, I will be very upset. Now, I do have one caveat to that. If Ben Heaney has impressed the coaches enough for them to roll with him as a starter, I'll be okay. I don't necessarily think that he's gotten there yet, but the coaches know better than I do. And he's impressed me enough that I'm not going to be angry about it. So that is one way they could upgrade middle linebacker. But I swear to God, you cannot have Curtis Lofton going into next season as the Raiders' starting middle linebacker. You cannot have David Emerson as the number one cornerback. And you cannot have, who do they even have at safety right now? Nate Allen? I don't even know what he can do. He's barely played for the Raiders. So you got to upgrade those three positions no matter what, no matter how you do it. If Ben Heaney's your guy, cool. I'm good with it. I'll roll with you. If not, go get someone, okay? Other positions, safety and corner, there's no one like Ben Heaney who I'm willing to say, all right, yeah, let's see what they can do. Let's see if they can handle this position. I'm sorry, Emerson needs to be your number two. He's going to be a very, very good number two, but he needs to be your number two. Nate Allen has not done enough for me to be confident. In fact, I strongly think that Nate Allen might end up getting cut this year. They can cut him without any hit to the tax, to the salary cap. He's done next season. You know, he could very well be the time on branch of this season getting cut.
No doubt. You know what I'm saying? Nate Allen, if they cut him, they cut him. Fine. Curtis Lofton, I hope they cut him. He was a project that just didn't work. I mean, that's fine. I like Ben Heaney right now, but if there's someone out there better, I will take him. You know, Ben Heaney is nice. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I like to see him out there. He plays with his hair on fire. It's awesome. You know, he's out there competing every single play. Did he screw up in the Kansas City game? Absolutely. Did he forget to block somebody on special teams? Absolutely. Did it result in a block punt and a safety? Yes, it did. But I mean, he's young. He's learning. He'll first be the first guy to admit that, hey, you know, I'm learning on the fly on the field, but I got to be on the field to be able to learn. So okay, I'm cool with that. I like what Heaney does. But again, if there's someone out there that's better and can make more of an impact, yeah, go ahead and make the move, because you need depth anyway, and Heaney might be a guy that ends up on the field all the time on top of that. You know, you just don't know what you have moving forward with these guys, but Curtis Lofton's a guy that I would I have no problems, you know, showing the door. And Nate Allen, if they decide to move on from him, absolutely have no problem with that either. You know, he's made a few good plays, but that was it. A few good plays ain't enough. Simple as that. I mean, it's not enough for me when I want my team to make a lot of moves moving forward. You know, I want them to put the best guys out there, the best 11 guys out there, on either on offense or defense. And if you're just not one of them, you're just not one of them. Again, you can, you know, provide great depth. You know, TJ Carey is a guy that will probably end up at safety, you know, and he might be better at that spot. So, you know, we'll see what happens moving forward. The coaching staff knows who they like and where they like them. And, you know, right now with the success that they had this year going 7-9, even though it's not the, you know, the ideal situation, 8-8 would have been a lot better. But, you know, with that, a lot of free agents are going to give the Raiders a second look where they wouldn't have gave them a second look last season. You know, a lot of people that are dogging Reggie, like, oh, he's not going and getting quality free agents. Who the hell would have gone to the Raiders 2 years ago? Who would have gone to the Raiders last year? You know, they showed nothing. They had nothing. It took Jack Del Rio to come in and get them to get a real facility, to get a real practice facility. I mean, they were playing on damn near concrete, you know. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of improvements going on right now with the Raiders. And you know, the coaching staff, again, I've said it a bunch of times, I think that they're the right coaching staff. I think that they're doing a good job. Musgrave is in a prove it year. He's got to really make it happen. Norton, he's getting a lot better. But this offseason, man, I think if you're a Raider fan, and James, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you should be excited, because I think that you're going to see your team greatly improve in free agency as well as the draft, because the last few drafts have been really good. You know, there's seventh round picks that are starting right now for the Raiders, and they're playing good ball. It's not like they're, you know, they're just playing because of necessity. You know, they're playing because they actually can play the game. And there's fifth round picks that are balling. Ben Heaney is playing a really good game. He came out of the fifth round. You can get quality players in the fifth round. I love the fact that Reggie doesn't want to give up his picks, because he'd rather use them on young talent and develop them than trade them for some guy who's already known, who might not come in and fit your system just because he's got a big name. I like that, and I think that's the way to go. I know there's a lot of Reggie haters out there. That's fine, because the results aren't there, and that's fine. But there is light at the end of the tunnel. They're doing it the right way. This team is coming to the 2000s. They're a real organization now. They're not sitting in the 90s anymore, in the 80s, in the old school. I mean, there's just things that worked for the Raiders back in the day, when things were less complicated, when free agency was less complicated, when the cap was less complicated. I mean, everything. It's a new day and age, man. Everyone's got to have a job. Everyone's got to be able to delegate. And right now, I think the Raiders are doing a good job of that. It's up to the coaching staff and the GM in this offseason to make it happen and upgrade your team. And I really believe that the Raiders are going to be upgraded a whole lot in this offseason.
Yeah, I think this is an offseason that you expect the Raiders to go from a team that was, you know, 7-9, trying to reach 8-8, to a team that should get 10 plus wins and mm-hmm. push for a playoff spot, yep. Period. There's really, you know, and you mentioned that there were some issues with free agency in past years. Not last season, man. They brought in a hell of a class. Dan Williams, that dude is playing like a beast. Rodney Hudson, playing like a beast. Michael Crabtree, playing like a beast. I mean, they brought in sure, there were some busts. Don't get me wrong. Roy Helu did not turn out. Mm-mm. Fine. Whatever. You know, Curtis Lofton did not turn out. Malcolm Smith, that dude may not be a starter, but he's a contributor. He's a dude who's going to stay on the team, and he's going to help him out, you know, and he's going to compete for a starting job too. So, you know, this last free agency period was pretty darn good, to be honest. And if they bring in another, you know, look at this fast free agency start period, and you say, let's be extremely pessimistic and say that you only got three positives out of that. Okay. Crabtree, Hudson, and Dan Williams, okay? Fine, you got three starters. Mm-hmm. Three good starters out of that free agency period. I'm sorry, that doesn't happen very often. Talk to the teams who, quote-unquote, won free agency in past years. You just don't get, you know, quality starters like the Raiders have in this past free agency period very often. You don't get them in big batches, like three at a time. That was a great offseason last year, and I've said this a number of times now. The Raiders are at a point where they no longer need great offseasons. For years, we've sat around and thought of the offseason as the potential to hit a home run, right? The potential to get that one guy who was going to be our savior. The guy who was going to turn the entire franchise around that we could ride into the sunset. You don't need that anymore. The Raiders don't need that hero, that savior. They've got him. They've got a guy named Derek Carr. They've got a guy named Khalil Mack. They've got a guy named Amari Cooper. Now, it's about filling in the pieces. Okay? You don't need a great offseason to fill in the pieces. You need a solid one. And the Raiders are more than capable of putting together a solid offseason. If they put together another great one, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again now, we're going to be talking division title. Not just playoffs.
If you win free agency, you never do it big in the season. I mean, there's so many teams. There's so many examples of it. But the thing about it is, man, the Raiders, they picked up a lot of blue-collar guys that wanted to prove themselves during the offseason and free agency this year. And that's kind of what I expect in the upcoming season, like you said just a little while ago. Free agency is supposed to be to fill holes, not to build a team. And that's what the Raiders were getting used to in prior years, where, oh, let's try to build a team through free agency. You don't win that way. And honestly, the only team that I remember being able to pull off a big free agent signing and it worked for him was when Deion Sanders was a free agent. He went to San Francisco. He did really well. Won a Super Bowl. Shut down one side of the field. Then he flipped around and went to Dallas. Shut down one side of the field. Won a Super Bowl. And honestly, that was one guy, and that's all I remember as being a free agent pickup that kind of put those teams over the edge. But those teams were already really good. They just needed that one piece to be able to put them over the top, and he was that guy, and that was him in the prime. Because when he went to Baltimore, he wasn't that guy. When he went to Washington, definitely wasn't that guy. So it doesn't happen very often. It just... They got lucky. San Francisco got lucky when Deion signed, and so did Dallas. But, I mean, that's it, man. Free agency is not where you go and get a super stud and think that, oh, your season's going to turn around. The Miami Dolphins got Sue. The Raiders wanted Sue. The Dolphins got Sue. Guess what? They were the first team to fire their head coach. I mean, come on. That lets you know right there, you don't win free agency and win a bunch of games.
Yeah, man, no, that's just not do it. Frustrating for a lot of Raiders fans because it takes longer for this, but the Kenzie has been building is the right way to it's the franchise for the future, something that the Al Davis method just didn't do. Davis consistently spent every offseason, the start of every offseason, trying to get the team under the cap so that he might be able to sign one free agent. I mean, constantly restructuring deals, constantly, you know, this or that, moving whatever he can around to try to squeeze out one more free agent signing. Those days are over. Those days are over because the Raiders' salary cap in large part to how they've spent, but also they have an influx of young talent on rookie contracts who cost a lot. And that's how you continue to build. That's how you get a team that can stay good for years at a time. Young talent. That way, when you've got that young talent, you can do a Bill Belichick and say goodbye to players who might not quite be in their prime yet. Doesn't matter. Trade them away. You got a young guy who will come up. I mean, how many players has Belichick said goodbye a little bit earlier than anyone should? But it's cool because he got a pick out of it. He has young players to back him up, coming up in the system, and it's all continue to roll. That's how you do it.
It really is, you know, and that's what the Raiders and Raider fans need to get used to. It's something that I like. I love it. I love not being in salary cap jail. I love the fact that, you know, every season it looks like the Raiders are the top team with the salary cap space, because, you know, there might become that one time where there's that one real special guy. There might be that Deion available, and you say, hey, I'll overpay you because I have the cap space, and I know that my team is right there on the tip. That's fine. I'll take that. You know, if the Raiders are there and know that they're that one free agent away from taking their team to the next level, I'm good with that. That works. That's when you're supposed to overpay. You know, the Patriots did it. They signed Darrell Revis, and he had a $20 million contract. You know what they did that year? I don't know. They won the Super Bowl. So it was worth it. It was worth it. But if you're not going to win the Super Bowl, and if you're not going to get to the next level and really improve your team, there's no reason to sign these huge deals. So as much as I wanted Ndamukong Suh to go to the Raiders, because I thought he would have been a nasty Raider, I thought it would have been awesome. You know, his team, again, like I said, that was the first team that fired their head coach, you know, so, you know, we got Dan Williams. Instead of getting Sue, we got Dan Williams. We got Malcolm Smith, who, by the way, led the team in tackles all season long. I mean, we got players. You know, there was a lot more bang for our buck than the Dolphins got with Sue. So, as we missed out on him, we missed out on Randall Cobb. That's fine. You know, the Packers are struggling to even get Randall Cobb involved. So, we got Amari Cooper. We have him locked in for the next 5 years. We're straight. You know, so there's things that are going our way. We got Crabtree. Crabtree had just as good a season, if not better. I haven't looked at the numbers, but just as good a season as the hell's his name again? I just forgot it. Cobb. Randall Cobb. Yeah. He had just as good a season as him, and he was a lot cheaper. And now we got him locked in for a long time, so we're good. You know, that's how it works out. So I know Raider fans get frustrated by not getting the big fish, but sometimes you don't need the big fish. Sometimes you just need a bunch of small guppies to go and put the work in.
Yeah, man, I agree. Free agency is just not the way you build the team. I'm happy with how McKinley's been doing it. It's been slow but steady and on the right path. And with that, man, I look forward to talking about the rest of the offseason with you and the rest of Raider Nation. We got a lot to look forward to, tons of names in free agency, tons of names in the draft, and tons of ways for the Raiders to get better.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll definitely get into the offseason. We'll get into free agency. We'll get into the draft. We'll get into all that stuff in the upcoming podcast, because, you know, we still got a service Raider Nation, man, because it's what we all about. So that will come up. We have that on the way. But I think that was a good wrap on this season, 2015, 2016. Raiders definitely took some step forward, in my opinion.
Oh, yes, sir. All right, Raider Nation, we will continue to be here with you throughout the offseason, talking Raiders all the time. Till then, for your boy Q, I'm James. Peace out.
It's a way of life. Yeah. Raider Nation. Raider Nation.
Up top, down low. Download it one way. That stupid black hole. Black hole. Game time. Talk is dead. Just win, baby. Enough said. Up top. Up top, down low. Only one way. That's through the black hole. Game time. Talk is dead. Just win, baby. Enough said.